Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Your right to assemble in public, part of the First Amendment, or it was. Now temporarily suspended in the state of South Carolina. That has some of you yesterday not very happy and a lot of you kind of confused. Are the cops coming to my church? They're going to bust up our Easter celebration? What about birthday parties? We're going to get arrested by the cops? Wait, jail time for this? On the phone to discuss what was meant by all this by our Governor Henry McMaster and maybe answer some questions. South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Let's start off. What do people need to know about this order from Henry McMaster, our governor?
Okay, so when the order went out a couple of days ago, my phone blew up from law enforcement officers around the state as well as concerned citizens, many probably your listeners. And so we published with the state law enforcement division guidance and a legal opinion yesterday that you can find on our website. But basically, this is what it says. It's important for me to add that I did speak with the governor yesterday at length. It was not his intention, and it is not the intention of the law to empower law enforcement officers to break up a family or a group of friends walking down the street, going to church, going to a birthday party, going to Walmart to buy some food. That is not at all what the intent of it is. The law is on the books. The law is intended to allow law enforcement, when necessary, to break up somewhat of a public nuisance gathering. Along the coast, there were a lot of beach parties, there were boat parties, a lot of college students kind of using their idle time to do things that they don't normally have the time to do, and it was creating a nuisance where gatherings of 50, 60 people were occurring. The intent of the law is to break up those types of gatherings, not to prohibit or prevent, you know, a family of four from walking down the street because they are more than three people. That is not at all what it's intended, and our guidance to law enforcement says just that.
So you guys are basically aiming for like the spring breakers, right? Out on the beach and that kind of thing?
Absolutely, absolutely. Here's the thing. The law says it's unlawful for a person to congregate with three or more people in a public setting unless they're authorized or in their own home, obviously. And the thing is we are all authorized by the Constitution to do a number of things. And what we're telling law enforcement officers are the intent of the governor and the U.S. Constitution should be what you use to temper your application of this law. In other words, the governor doesn't want you breaking up a family or a group of friends at a backyard birthday party or, doing whatever, going to the store or church. It's designed to break up those spring breaker type parties. In Florence the other day, there was an ATV party mudding. People were mudding, and it turned into an impromptu concert. It's designed to address those type of situations. Now, listen, it may not be prudent for you to go in groups with your friends to the store or to have birthday parties at this time, but it is not unlawful and you should not be arrested for it. And that's what we're telling law enforcement.
Okay, I got a texter on the text line wants to know, and we're talking to South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson. His sister has a wedding planned for the coming weeks. Will the guests be arrested if they gather?
No, not at all. Listen, I'm... I'm not here to say that it's prudent to have a wedding. Of course, these weddings don't exactly just pop up. They've been planned for a long time and a lot of money,
a lot of money.
People traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get it. Been through one myself. So to your listener, I get you. But no, you should not be arrested. I think that since the wedding is occurring during this state of emergency, my advice would be to go take extra special precaution to maintain social distancing with the people who are in attendance, and to do everything that you can to kind of keep people apart from each other at the wedding. I know that's hard to do because there's dancing and all those things, but to exercise common sense. But no, law enforcement should not be arresting you for that.
Excuse me, cough button. I don't have coronavirus, I promise. We're talking to South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson. Here is a question from our Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. I'm concerned the next step is to tell businesses they must close. That is already happening at the local level and at the local level here. I question whether any elected official, including the governor, has the authority to close a legal operating business. If McMaster issues such an order, I will not comply. So there's kind of three things going on there. Let's start with the first one. I'm concerned the next step is to tell businesses they must close. What do you know about that?
So, listen, right now, I think the thing to remember is that there is a state of emergency declared. This is a very, very unique state of emergency. This isn't a hurricane. This isn't a flood. This isn't 9/11, where the enemy is a very visible weather event or just an enemy. This is a pandemic, and so the state is doing its best to respond appropriately. I've sat in high-level meetings with governor and cabinet agencies across the state, and they're taking everything very seriously. The last thing we want to do is grind the economy to a halt and jump unemployment and hurt people in their wallets. That is not what people want to do. But there are things that the government is trying to do to keep this thing from getting even worse. And in certain areas of the country, it's far worse than it is. There are laws on the books that should the government take certain actions, such as closing businesses, that it could be a crime to disobey a lawful order. What I can tell your listener right now is that I know of no intent to forcibly close businesses at this time. I don't think that's what anybody wants. I don't think that's where we are. But again, if you are keeping a business open when we're trying to tell people, we're trying to send a message that by coming together, we're going to get each other infected and we're going to make this thing last longer. I don't think that's a prudent decision. But again, I sympathize with the person that said that, and I don't want to close anything. I don't think the governor wants to close anything, and I don't think we're going to get there anytime soon.
Got a text from someone I think is a minister. If using caution, you're saying we're okay to have church, we're a small congregation, and not to have service could devastate us.
I don't know if you could restate the question. It sounds like they're asking, should they want to continue having church services, or they don't want to?
I think they're, if using caution, you're saying we're okay to have church. And I think they're asking in the context of Henry McMaster's, order for, officers to break up a group of three or more. What would you say to that about church?
So it is not illegal for you to have church. Now, I'm going to get a little religious here. I think it's the Apostle Paul says all things are beneficial, or all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. it may be permissible to have a church service, but is it beneficial to your congregation? Is it beneficial to your community? And again, anytime we can come together and pray is beneficial, but when you're physically bringing people together, that aids in the spread of this disease. Is that beneficial? So to me, I would ask people to exercise common sense and good judgment. If you have a small congregation and y'all are able to spread out and exercise social distancing, then, I would defer to the pastors of those churches. Again, no one's telling you you can't. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm an attorney. But from what I'm hearing from the experts, the more social distancing we maintain at this point, the less draconian measures we'll have to take down the road.
Texture writes, Explain, this is an interesting question. Explain the difference between a few guys or gals hanging out in parking lots or street corners and hundreds of people piling into grocery stores. They are, because, I don't know if you, Alan Wilson, they're reducing the hours at stores. I don't know why they're doing that. That crams more people into a smaller space. So, they're kind of asking for justification here. Why would state law enforcement or local law enforcement under Henry McMaster's order, why would they go after a few guys and girls hanging out in parking lots, yet we have these mobs in grocery stores when they open?
Well, first off, I don't think the intent of the executive order or the application of that particular statute is to go after a couple of people hanging out in a parking lot. That is not what we would advise law enforcement to do. But secondly, people trying to go to the grocery stores, they're not out there creating a public nuisance. They're trying to go and get food to feed their families. Whereas, you know, 50 people congregating in a parking lot for the express purpose of opening up a keg of beer or having a party, that is not necessary. That is not prudent to do. And there's no need to do that. There is a need to go feed your family. So it's the intent of what it's trying to do. It's trying to break up unnecessary large social and boisterous gatherings that could aid in the spread of the COVID-19. It's not designed to inhibit people from going to get food for their family. Again, I don't envision, and I hope no law enforcement officer attempts to arrest a small group of people from hanging out in a parking lot. I would just ask that those people hang out in their house if they're going to hang out.
Okay, that's fair. Alan Wilson, South Carolina Attorney General, and you were here this morning to kind of clarify our governor's order to law enforcement. Anything else you want to add that people need to know?
No, I spoke to the governor at length yesterday. Again, I want people to hear this. There is no ban on groups of three or more hanging out in public or being together in public. If you have a large family and you're going to the store, or going to church, keep living your lives. No one wants to stop you from that. We don't want law enforcement interfering with that. We just want people to exercise common sense, prudence, and judgment. And I think that's what law enforcement is going to do. We just got to make it through this. I'll close with this, Tara. In order for us to come together, we got to stay apart. And that's what we have to do for the next few weeks until we can get through this.
I got a question for you, and I don't mean to put you on the spot because you are not Henry McMaster, Alan Wilson. But is there any sense of when he feels like this is going to end? I mean, we have just shut down school through the end of April. And our business owners, let me tell you, they are hurting. I see it on the text line. We've got a 400% increase in unemployment filings in the state. I mean, this is a bloodletting. I can only imagine it's gotten worse since the news stopped talking about that a few days ago. Does he have any sense, one, of what our businesses are going through, and two, Trump started talking an end date the last couple of days. Is he doing that?
I have not spoken to the governor about what he thinks an end date would be. I do know that he, along with every other state official that I've sat in meetings with, and every day they have state level meetings where they're receiving national information. They have epidemiologists reporting. They have DHEC and DSS and all the experts and the doctors on the calls. They're reacting to the information they're being given, and I think what they want to do is they want to flatten the curve so they can make this manageable. I think it's—I don't want to say dangerous, but I think it's easier to mismanage expectations when you give a specific date that you think things should go back to normal, like Easter or any other day, because then people all of a sudden pin their hopes and dreams to that date. And if you get to that date and you're unable to deliver on that promise, it frustrates people and it makes them angry. And so the next time you give a specific date, they're less inclined to believe you. So I don't like speaking in absolutes, only to say that I don't think anybody implementing the rules at the state level wants to do anything to hurt our small mom-and-pop businesses. And frankly, what we're trying to do is we're trying to do everything as fast as we can on the front end, take all those draconian measures up front. Let's embrace the hurt now so that we don't have to embrace it for a much longer period of time.
Real quick, Alan Wilson, we are really at the screaming end of this interview, but you mentioned DHEC. I have not heard, I cannot find anything anywhere in the state that our healthcare facilities are overwhelmed. Have they communicated anything like that to you? I can't find any evidence of it.
I have not heard that. I have not been told that.
Okay. Do they anticipate them being overwhelmed at some, like in this period before the end of April? Because that's the whole point of this flattening the curve, is to prevent the overwhelming of our healthcare facilities. If they're not overwhelmed, why are we amping up our response?
Well, I know about healthcare facilities in my community because my wife works at one, and
okay.
I know that they are okay. I can't speak to the whole state and healthcare facilities in your area. I just know that we're trying to flatten that curve so that we don't ever have a huge bubble of people hitting us at one time, and that's what they're trying to avoid. But I'm not aware of any issue of shortages at this time. That doesn't mean there's not. I'm just not aware of it.
Okay, and again, that's not your rubric. You are, of course, the Attorney General.
Right.
But you mentioned DHEC, so I thought I'd ask you if what you'd heard if you were talking to them. Alan Wilson, thank you so much. I know you've got a ton going on right now, for stopping by 106.3 WORD this morning to answer our questions.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Going to jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307 to get some reaction to that interview with State Attorney General Alan Wilson. Texter writes, this is, he called in to just kind of clarify, because there's a lot of confusion about Governor McMaster's order that groups of three in public shouldn't be hanging out except in some exceptions. Texter writes, where the police could arrest you. You could even get up to 30 days in jail for that. Whew. I wonder why we didn't do this for the flu. 103 people who died this season in South Carolina and County, but whatever. Texter writes, sounds like it's completely up to the officer's discretion. What could go wrong? Texter writes, there was a great one in here. In order to save the village, we had to destroy it. Another texter writes, unfortunately, I think Mr. Wilson completely missed the point of the last text. A virus does not care whether your intent is to drink beer or buy a beer at the store. If it is not wise to gather the entertainment. If it's not wise to gather for entertainment, it is not wise to gather for buying groceries. I guess the counter argument to that would be, you have to get the groceries. There's certain things we can't block you from doing, but don't do the extra extraneous stuff. I would think that's what he'd say if he was here. That's the other side of it, but it's a good point. Texter writes, the governor's order was a very short-sighted and clumsy order. I worry about his brain some days. It was not well done. It left more questions than answers. I had people texting me, am I going to get busted up for going out with my kids? I got four. Can I go shopping? Do I get to go to shopping? It was bad. Texter writes, but the police are breaking up small groups. In Anderson, the police made a group of four boys throwing a baseball 90 feet apart. And the text trails off. Texter writes, so basically our rights hinge on if a cop thinks we are a nuisance or not. That's comforting. Another texter writes, so it's not that you're hanging out with a group of people. It's what you are doing that they feel is either permissible or not. This is not going to end well for them. See, there is a lot of angst. I got to ask you this. Anyone out there that supports this? I told Alan Wilson this yesterday. I talked to him yesterday afternoon. I said, just to pass back to Henry McMaster. There's a lot of things that outrage me about this. This is not one of the... I know why he did it. He has tremendous pressure on him right now to shut the state down from the loons. And so this was kind of his compromise to get them off his back. So, I'm worked up about a lot of things about coronavirus. This is not one I have energy to tackle. But I seem to be in a real minority here. Is there anyone out there who thinks this was a good idea? Because I'm not hearing from them right now on the text line. And maybe you're out there. You're just not mad. So you're not texting in or calling it. 800-347-1063 is the Ingalls Advantage talk line. Texter writes, whether to arrest someone is always up to the officer's discretion. Great point. Texter writes, use online pickup for groceries. And finally, another texter writes, Tracy and Gaffney. Good morning, Tracy. That was clear as mud. And finally, during World War II, millions of soldiers and people couldn't go to church. Did they defy God? Did the Germans win the war? No, they sacrificed and defeated evil so all the rest of us could remain free.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Texter on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, which is 71307, writes, "Hey, Tara, tell your caller, yeah, right." Actually, it was a texter. "Try that ordering groceries online thing and see how that works for you. The shelves are empty. I know. I've been going to the grocery stores. I have to usually go to about three to get all the things I need." I know we do, too. It's because shopping's become a major time occupation. I tell you what. You got to strategize it. Okay, so where are we? The mainstream media is hysterical right now because they are in a corner. This is how bad it is, right? MSNBC had to issue a correction after a tweet yesterday claiming 50% of the population could die from coronavirus. Oops. Okay. Let me lay this out for you, what's going on right now. This is a financial war right now. Yeah, there's a virus and it kills people. But the bigger issue is the financial war. It's gotten much bigger than the virus, as Trump accurately explains. So I want to kind of make everything going on this week make sense. The timing of it and the maneuvering. You saw what Nancy Pelosi did, right, on Sunday? It was despicable. All week before that, the whole week, the Democrats and Republicans had gotten together. They wrote a bill together. That alone is miraculous. It's not like there was a Republican bill and a Democrat bill and they couldn't reconcile. And there was none of that. Normally there is, but there wasn't. They wrote a bill together. And then guess what? Pelosi slides into town on Sunday, just a few hours before the markets open for after-hours trading. And she says, "Oh, you know what? Yeah, I've been vacationing in San Fran, and I don't like this bill. So I'm just going to write my own." Markets tank. That was on purpose. Why was Nancy Pelosi, by the way, the public backlash was so massive, she had to walk that back. So they passed the bill, thank God. So be getting checks to Americans. But why was Nancy Pelosi trying to delay checks for Americans? Why would she do that on Sunday? She had to know she would take a pretty big political hit. What was she striving for that would be make that hit worth it? She wanted to make sure there was no plan in place to stabilize the economy on Friday. It was Friday. Friday's the day the unemployment stats come out. And that's why she wanted to drag her heels, have no plan in place, keep the markets panicked so that when the unemployment stats come out, they're going to be brutal. The market would be set at maximum velocity for collapse. That's what this was. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. That's what this was. She failed. The backlash was so big, but she figured she could hang out till Friday and then collapse the markets. This is what she was doing. Now flip over to Trump so you can understand what he's doing. There is a strategy to it. There is a reason Trump has come out and definitively announced we will try to reopen the country by Easter. He did not say we would unilaterally reopen the country by Easter. I'm going to explain that in a minute. Why did Trump do that? Two reasons. He's telling businesses, try to hang on until Easter. I've given you a time frame. For businesses, that's so much easier to work with. You can begin to plan and strategize around the hope that things will open back up, at least in red states, for Easter. Why did Trump have to do that now, Monday, Tuesday? Because he knows those unemployment stats are coming out. There has to seem to be a plan. You ever seen one of those movies where everybody's in the airplane, like they're flying along, and then all of a sudden they hit the thing that's going to maybe bring the plane down? Everyone's like, whoa, 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 like that. That's what Friday is going to be like. It was going to be way worse without a plan. He must give them some stability going into Friday so the plane doesn't crash. And this is why surrogates like Peter Morici are out there talking to Fox News. I mean, Morici's out there saying, hey, listen, the projections for unemployment on Friday are going to be about 9%. 10% was what we were at the height of the great recession. He's actually talking them up so that hopefully they come in better than that and it looks better. He's trying to keep the plane from crashing from the turbulence. That's what this is all about. The left and the media are trying to do the opposite. They all know what we're headed toward. We're headed toward Friday. They're trying to crash the markets. Trump's trying to prop them up. He's trying to prop business owners up. That's what the battle is right now. It's not about this virus thing.
I think they're kind of conservative. They're based on the virus subsiding fairly quickly.
So he's talking about that 9% unemployment figure.
I would suggest that this thing is going to last to April and that the unemployment rate is going to go up above 10%. We're looking at something more severe than the Great Recession.
Yeah. He's preparing everybody for Friday. Nancy was trying to prepare for a crash. This is a battle. This is why the media is out there hysterical. Oh, my God, he doesn't have a plan. He's just going to reopen the markets. He's just going to reopen the business. No, he did not say that. That's what he said. Not even close. The media's got another problem. The big one right now. Their fake reporting has been debunked. Started on Monday. Did you notice the timeline here? On Monday, Trump began telling people the truth. Finally. About these death rate stats. We closed our country down based on a 3.4% death rate. It hasn't occurred. The media ignored the evidence that it hasn't occurred, kept using it to hysterically scare people. Trump began laying the groundwork to turn the ship around, the terror part of it, based on fake statistics. Yes, this coronavirus is deadly, but it's not as deadly as they had said to justify the shutting down of this country and the wrecking of the economy. So, what does that mean? Well, you'll note MSNBC and CNN blacked out the press conference. They didn't run it. You will see more networks do that today, tomorrow, and in the coming days. Why? Because the real stats are out now. If you notice something, when you're watching mainstream media, they're no longer talking about death rates. All they talked about in the beginning was death rates because the death rates aren't significantly higher than the flu. In fact, our national death rate from corona right now is lower than our flu death rate for the state of South Carolina. They won't tell you that. So what they're doing right now, oh my God, case numbers are going up. Well, of course they're going up. We're testing. As Fox News explained briefly before not explaining it anymore.
And we expected those numbers to climb once more tests were being conducted. So we'll continue to follow that. Todd, thank you.
No problem.
All right.
So what's the plan here? What's the deal? I want to play what the media didn't want you to hear yesterday. I want to play that for you. Here's Peter Hemmer Bill Hemmer with Fox News.
What we're trying to figure out in this whole scenario here is how deadly the virus is. And so far, it is highly contagious, but not very deadly. We can agree on that based on the data, correct?
Yes.
Yep. What you've been hearing on this show, Dr. Deborah Birx, echoing exactly what you've been hearing me say on this show. At the press conference. It's why they had to black it out. They knew these stats would be out there because Trump started putting them out on Monday. Tuesday just happens to be the date they black out the press conference, the mainstream media.
You know what the estimate in Wuhan was originally? It was over 3%.
See?
And they look outside of Wuhan, it was about 0.7%. It depends very much. In South Korea, it was about 0.7, 0.8%. You know, that's not having That's probably missing 50-60% of the data because no one was testing asymptomatics. Remember, in every country, you had to be symptomatic to get a test. So we're making case fatality rates when we're missing a significant part of the data. So if anything, it will go lower.
Bingo. It will go lower. That is what they can't have you hear. So now that we know it is not as deadly as the rate we use to justify the shutdowns, what do we do? We monitor for the next 2 weeks. We gather the data. And it gives Trump time to walk the public back from the ledge. He's going to have to edge. It's going to take 2 weeks to bust past the fake news terror with real stats over and over and over and over again to mentally prepare the country, at least the red parts of it, for opening the economy back up before, we're beyond Thunderdome. That's where we are. That's what he's doing.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
As the death rate goes down, as we predicted, enough to predict it, it's been going down for weeks, the left increases its grip on power. That's what they're doing right now. They're getting more obscene about it because I think that they are anticipating being bucked. And that's why the Los Angeles mayor has announced they are now shutting off water and power for non-essential businesses that haven't closed. And this is, again, why the media has to black out the press conferences, because they cannot have you hearing that this is not nearly as dangerous as the picture they paint. It's very dangerous. People die, but not anywhere near the rate they used to justify the shutdown of the country. So who is now saying this? Well, it was really frustrating when it was mostly me, but a lot of people are joining the chorus. Bill Hemmer yesterday on Fox admits, hey, it's not anywhere near as deadly as we were told when we made these decisions. And by the way, the hysterical coverage in the media, what they're not telling you is the reason for the reassessment is not because Trump randomly decided to kill a bunch of senior citizens by Easter. It's because we know the data was faulty now that the media initially reported. That was the reason. They will not tell people that. And a lot of people are beginning to come out and slowly come out and acknowledge this. Dr. Oz did. He said, yeah, I was at the press conference. Mehmet Oz, mainstream media as it could be, doctor. He says, yeah, I was there at the press conference with Trump and Dr. Birx, and they're right. Death rate isn't anything nearly what we were told.
The question now becomes, what are the actual metrics we look for to see if it's working or not? And I was part of the press conference today, as you know, and Dr. Birx said very thoughtfully that we're not going to just focus on numbers of cases, because with all the extra testing, of course, that's going to increase. But by looking at mortalities, and we need better and more precise data there, we can begin to tell if we're heading in the right direction. I think within the next week, we'll have a pretty good gauge, which is why 15 days was the amount of time selected by the task force. And by then, we'll be able to identify for sort of directionally heading in the right spot. I was impressed that the president put a timeline out, arguing that Easter would be a nice time to come around.
So there you have it. Dr. Oz doing the opposite of the rest of the media. I'm impressed. I'm surprised, quite frankly. And saying, listen, the more we test, the more these case numbers are going to go up. We need to look at the death rate. And that's what they did at this press conference. Now, if you notice, what is the media doing right now? Watch the mainstream media sometime today. Watch them. They're not talking death rate anymore. That's all they talked before. They've dropped that. And now they're doing the hysterical coverage of the case numbers. They're going up. They're going up. Well, of course they are. Our testing has now surpassed South Korea's per capita. Of course they're going up. We're identifying more cases. Have we always had this number of cases? November, December, January? Possibly. Nobody knows. Anyway, I want you to hear from Dr. Oz on this. To counter some of the hysteria, you will probably hear from other sources later. That's the whole point of me covering this way, is to balance what you're hearing. You will not get that from the mainstream media. Their sole goal is to crush our economy. Count on it. Here's Dr. Oz saying Trump's Easter plan could work. Why? Because they plan to base it on data. We have better data. And Easter is now the goal for assessing that data.
What do you think about that? Do you think we could hit that note at Easter? That's when we could begin to reopen businesses and such?
Well, it's a good time for resurrection, right? And
I think sure is.
Medically, we'll have a pretty good idea. You know, I used a metaphor when I asked the president about that because I was curious what would happen if it didn't work out well. But in surgery, and I'm a surgeon, a good surgeon can tell when the surgery went well, which is what we're going through now these 2 weeks, and he can tell when the patient can go home, which, again, in theory, President Trump was arguing could be Easter. But a great surgeon goes one step further. They know when you have to readmit the patient if there's a
right.
problem. So as long as we have a game plan for dealing with a slippage, you know, if we sort of go backwards, then I think we can be more aggressive and starting to loosen up the reins on America.
It's very rational, isn't it, Wally? Got about a minute here. Can you do it?
Yeah, real quick. I need your help.
Okay.
Governor Cuomo is all freaking out because there's 25,000 cases in New York. Well, there's 8.5 million people in New York. 85,000 would be 1% of the population. You don't have enough hospital beds? How many hospitals are there in New York?
Yeah, and here's another question. How many flu cases have there been in New York?
Oh, well, yeah, you can't mention that, Tara. They'll keep the facts out of this.
Yeah, it's incredibly frustrating. The other thing, go ahead.
It's like I call you because, you know, talking to other people, and I'm getting people that just, oh, no, you don't mind if people die. People die every day. It's a very sad thing. I'm not minimalizing this. Just report what's real.
Exactly. Report what's real. Report what's real so people can make decisions based on facts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.